14. "It's a delaying tactic," Mara shouted over the roar.
"I know,"
Luke shouted back.
"It's working. I'm being delayed."
He stopped a forearm swing and was driven back a step, stopped the follow-up elbow swing and was driven back a step, jumped back to avoid the knee strike, and discovered it was only a feint. Lord Nyax's leg snapped back and caught a Yuuzhan Vong warrior in the crotch, collapsing the warrior despite its armor. Every step took the Jedi and the warriors toward the center of the chamber. The floor vibrated beneath their feet.
"What?"
Mara said.
"I didn't say anything."
"Not you. Speak up, face." Luke waved Mara back. She jumped up and backward in a somersault, taking her out of Lord Nyax's range, and took out her comlink, holding it up to her ear. Tahiri took her place, swinging her lightsaber defensively, eyes wide as she analyzed her attacker's motions and patterns.
"I said it's a big machine,"
Faith shouted. Here at the source of the vibration, the noise was much worse. He, Kel, and their struggling cargo were on a catwalk, two levels down from the floor where the Jedi and Yuuzhan Vong fought, one level down from the side passageways by which the Vong must have arrived, and the catwalk itself was the top level of a deep, deep chamber, a chamber that housed a single vehicle. Had that machine been set up on any world but Coruscant, it would have been considered a skyscraper. It was hundreds of meters tall. At its base were treaded appendages that could roll like tank treads or lift and move independently like feet. All along its surface were hydraulic arms. Some ended in what looked like plasma cutters, others in huge ball-like weapons, still others in manipulator hands. At the top was a sensor station surrounded by transparent steel panels, and packed into that station were living beings. Many of the workers who had not been on the floor above at the onset of the Yuuzhan Vong attack were here, and more were shoving their way along a catwalk extension that led to a door in that station. Down below were more beings tirelessly carrying hunks of debris away from the machine's base. The whole thing roared like a fleet of antiquated pod racers. The vibration cut into Face's skin wherever the Von Dune crab armor did not cover it.
"Tell her it's a construction droid," Kel shouted. "It looks completely functional."
Face shouted that information into his comlink.
"Did she hear you?"
"I don't know."
"Tell her it's moving."
Far below, the tread spun into action. The construction droid's machinery whined as the gigantic machine lurched into action and then crashed into the Diracrete wall before it. Unable to hear, Mara bit off a curse. She tucked her comlink away and jumped back into the fight, deflected a pair of thudbugs, took a swipe at Lord Nyax's hand. Its arm rotated, and it caught the attack on its lightsaber blade. Luke flipped over the pale thing, striking as he went. His blow was blocked. Tahiri in front lunged forward and stumbled right into the path of a knee blade. Mara reached out, an effort to shove with the force, knowing that she was too late, knowing that the knee blade would emerge in a fraction of a second from the back of Tahiri's skull, but Tahiri whipped to the side, still in control, still in balance. Even as Luke crashed feet first into Lord Nyax's neck, forcing its head down toward its own knee blade. The blade turned itself off. Lord Nyax's head passed through empty space. Luke, backflipping to his feet, offered up an expression of bafflement and frustration. Mara sighed. It had been a feint, an effort to trick the thing into spearing itself with its own weapons, but its designers had been too thorough. There were fail-safes. The floor rocked under their feet. Mara felt the crash from below as much as she heard it. Lord Nyax leaped upward a half-dozen meters and then, impossibly, just hung there in space, smiling down at the Jedi and the Yuuzhan Vong. Mara realized a fraction of a second too late that it had merely grabbed the same cord by which she and Luke had descended. Then the floor went out from under her. The construction droid plowed into the wall before it, smashing steel and Diracrete out, allowing blue-white sunlight to spill in. It lurched and wobbled as it continued, internal balance compensators having a hard time keeping up with the irregularity of the surface it moved across.
The catwalk under Face's feet rippled. Come on! He turned back toward the stairs they'd descended, but the catwalk mounting on the corner nearest the droid's exit hole snapped and dropped, snapping the next mounting toward him and the next mounting after that. The catwalk fell all along one wall, except for the mounting behind Face and Kel, turning their footing into a steep ramp. Face managed to get his hands on the catwalk railing. As his feet went out from under him, he held on. He looked up, could see Kel holding on above him, could see the ceiling of this chamber split and collapse as one of its supporting walls gave way under the droid's destructive exit. Bodies began spilling through the split in the ceiling. Some were bodies of workers. Others were Yuuzhan Vong warriors. Then there were the bodies of his Jedi friends. As he felt his footing give way, Luke sprang, with the last bit of traction the flooring gave him, toward Mara and Tahiri. He hit them like an overly aggressive ball player, catching one in each arm. The patch of floor they were heading toward opened, giving him nothing to land on. With the force, he shoved at his own back, propelling him through the rent toward the metal wall he saw before him, the wall and the catwalk there. He saw that their arc was going to miss the catwalk. They would hit the wall and plummet. But in that instant, the left end of the catwalk broke free of its moorings and dropped, bringing it beneath their ballistic arc. A moment later, they hit the swaying thing, bending it down still farther, but Mara and Tahiri grabbed its trailing end and held on with their considerable strength. Gasping for breath, Luke looked around. He and both of the others had switched off their lightsabers mid-leap. "Good instincts," he said. "Good teacher," Tahiri said. She looked up past Luke. "Hey, Face, is that you? Hold on, hold on, I'll get a line down to you." Face tied off the cord he'd once used to safeguard his passage across an elevated walkway. He dropped the other end down the swaying catwalk toward the Jedi. In moments, Luke, Mara, and Tahiri swarmed up to join them. The construction droid was only just pulling out onto the avenue beyond the building. "Did you see Vicky Shesh?" Mara asked. Kel jerked a thumb up toward the stairwell behind them. She was still at the bottom of the steps when the big boom hit. She took off. Mara clambered up to the base of the stairs. "I'm going after her." "Mara, no." Luke's voice did not carry a plea. His tone conveyed simple truth. "Lord Nyax is more important. I can feel him moving up there, moving away. We have to go after him, bring him down." Mara sighed, shut her eyes. After a moment, she nodded. "I lost her. I'll go after her," Kel said. Face pressed the locator into his hand. "No, you go after this, mechanic boy. It could be our ticket out of here." "You go after her, then." Face gestured toward the construction droid, which leaned at an alarming angle toward the next building over as it turned rightward onto the avenue. "I'm going after that. Nyack sent it off for a purpose. We need to know what that purpose is." Mara pounded her fist on the bottom step, then stood. "Let's go," she said. Up on the half-collapsed floor above, Danuva Ku hung, unable to climb, unable to descend. A 3-meter length of rebar emerged from his gut. It was slick with his blood. He knew that his lung had been punctured. The pain was extraordinary. He did not mind pain, did not fear it, but it was beginning to fade in a way that suggested imminent death rather than recovery. In the silence left by the infidel machine's departure, he heard feet padding softly across the remaining floor. He looked up. Vicky Shesh, most of the way around the chamber toward the hole by which the pale monster had entered, her hands tied behind her back, paused and looked at him. "Tell them I died well," the Nua Ku said. "I'll tell them," she said. "I'll tell them you died whining, that you died begging for infidel medicines, anything to alleviate the pain." Danuva Ku snarled. He reached for his pouch, for his last remaining razor bugs. Vicky laughed at him. Before he could bring out the weapons, she reached the corner and ducked through the hole there. Lord Nyax led the 3 Jedi on a high-speed run through the ruins of Coruscant. He could travel faster than they could, because from time to time he'd simply leap from one building to the next one over, usually a leap too great for them to match.
yet they could always feel him in the distance, sense his movements, sense a feeling of expectation and even anxiety from him. Once they caught up very close, the bodies of 5 lightly scarred Yuuzhan Vong warriors, young ones, lay in a brightly lit corridor, their wounds still smoking. In the distance, the Jedi could hear the footsteps of Lord Nyack's fleeing. "Where's he going?" Mara asked. Luke thought about where they started this fight, where they'd been since then. "It's a big arc, maybe part of a big circle." "Why?" Tahiri asked. She breathed more easily than Luke or Mara, the energy and resilience of youth standing her in good stead. "He's not fleeing," Luke said. "He could have left us behind some time ago, so he wants us to follow him. Into a trap?" He shook his head. "He would have gone straight. No, he's just leading us on a chase, a diversion." "So where does he want us not to go?" Tahiri asked. Mara turned abruptly, headed back the way they'd come. "To wherever it sent that construction droid." She pulled out her comlink. "Mara to Face. Come in, Face." Face ducked behind a pillar between 2 smashed-in panels of transparasteel. He got out of sight just in time. Outside, a wing pair of coral skippers flew by at his exact altitude. The same altitude as the top level of the combat droid. "Face here, I hear you." "Are you still with the construction droid?" "Well, yes and no." He leaned out of the shattered viewport next to him. In the distance, he could see the coral skippers hovering outside the mound of rubble the construction droid made when it plowed into the side of a giant ziggurat of buildings. "It's ahead of me. It's digging through construction, moving a lot faster than those things are rated to move, I'll bet. I'm cut off from it for the moment. I'm going to have to track it from floors above and hope they don't fall out from under me." "Leave a tracking signal open. We need to find you." "Done. Face out." He sat there for a few more moments, gasping in the warm, moist, cloying air of Coruscant, then rose again. "I hate this job." The Jedi circled around the growing accumulation of coral skippers hovering outside the collapsed hole the construction droid had bored into the ziggurat's side. On an upper floor, half a kilometer from the gathering, they met up with Face and peered at the ziggurat. "Interesting," Luke said. "What?" said Tahiri. "This is one of the monolithic blocks that served the old Republic as a government center," Luke said. "A lot of it belonged to secondary bureaus, to embassies and legations from non-Republic worlds, and to businesses and organizations more or less allied with the old Republic." Tahiri gave him a skeptical look. "How do you know that?" "Because, youngster, the few surviving databases and file maps that mentioned the old Jedi Temple indicated that it was..." Luke pointed. "Somewhere there. I've been all through it, kilometers and kilometers of it. By the time I got to look at it, of course, Emperor Palpatine had long destroyed every remaining trace of the Jedi." "Maybe not every trace," Mara said. "Why do you suppose Lord Nyax is digging there?" "Because," Luke considered, "because he has some kind of implanted memories or instincts? Perhaps he wants to destroy any remnant of the temple because of lingering emotions. Or maybe he knows about some portion of it that was never on the public databases." "Either way," Mara said, "we have to find out." Luke smiled. "One of the advantages about having been all through that region is that I know quite a few ways in and out. Come on, let's bypass these skips." Deep in the guts of the ziggurat, the construction droid leaned against the sloping black wall, driving its plasma cutters into the smooth surface, hammering the glossy wall with its mechanical limbs. Chunks of dense stone fell away from the impact points, but the wall yielded only very slowly. Luke and his companions peered at the action through a crack in a duratrete wall a couple of stories up. Much of the construction that should have been beneath them had collapsed as soon as the construction droid had prowled its way to this point, meaning that the creaking and sagging of the floor beneath them heralded a further collapse that was probably imminent. "What's beyond that wall, farm boy?" Luke shook his head. "I don't know. I didn't know this area was here. I'm not sure there were any visible accesses into it before. Hey, we have Yuuzhan Vong coming." Despite the danger that her extra weight might present, Mara leaned in over her husband's shoulder to look. Yuuzhan Vong warriors were scrambling over the rubble and rushing toward the construction droid. Coruscant survivors rushed out of the construction droid's base to meet them. Unarmed, ill-fed, they still had a tremendous edge in numbers over the warriors, and Luke saw several of the Yuuzhan Vong go down under struggling masses of bodies. The stronger survivors picked up chunks of stone and brained the troops. More Yuuzhan Vong entered. More survivors swarmed in, now coming from surrounding areas of rubble, instead of just from the droid's base. Luke looked back at the others. He's near. He's calling to them, calling for help. Face pulled his helmet off, touched his forehead. He looked troubled. I know. I can feel him. In my head. I want to go down there. He looked up into their worried expressions, offered them a wan smile. Well, mostly I don't, but I can feel the draw. You're strong, Tahiri said. Well fed. You have hope still. He'd have to exert himself more to control you, but I suspect he can. I'm not sure he can't control us. Kel to Face. The voice, small and tinny, floated up from Face's helmet. The Wraith leader pulled his helmet up beside his features. Facer. I found the source of the locator signal. We're in luck. It's a space-worthy transport. It's our passage back to Borlias. What kind of condition is it in? It's ready to go. Oh, it's blocked in by several tons of rubble. Can you handle that? What's my bag full of? That's what I thought. Luke looked again at the battle raging below, a battle where his only opponent of consequence was the creature they called Lord Nyax. Face, our mission is over. I want you to round up the others, get to that transport, and prepare to leave Coruscant. Face grinned at him as though he were waiting for a punchline. And what about you silly Jedi types? We're going down there. Luke closed his eyes just for a moment, as the weight of that decision pressed upon him. He was about to lead his wife and a teenager into a situation he wasn't sure he could handle, a situation that was likely to get them all killed. He looked at Face again. If we die here, the other Jedi need to know about Lord Nyax. You're going to tell them. Face thought about it, his smile disappearing. I normally try to argue against suicide missions. But you know what Lord Nyax can do? Yes. So all I can do is wish you luck. Face left. Luke took a couple of deep breaths, turned to the others. Ready? Ready, Tahiri said. Mara just nodded. Luke ignited his lightsaber and sliced into the gap he'd been peering through, widening it. Lord Nyax watched as his workers swarmed toward the warriors he could not sense. He did not like the fact that he could not feel them, but he did enjoy seeing his workers kill them, though it was usually at a cost of 20 or 30 workers per warrior. But he was summoning more workers from all around. No matter how well they hid in the ruined undercity, his call reached them and forced many, most, to climb free of their hiding holes, to stumble and then walk and then race toward the scene of this conflict. And he could feel the wall weakening. Soon it would give way completely. The woman who had told him of this wonderful machine, he thought she was up at its summit, making it move, had been right. Then he sensed something and looked up. A bar of energy flashed, and three people fell out of a hole in the ceiling. They drifted laterally to the top of the slope of the black wall, riding it down, using their power to slow their descent, keep their balance, increasing the friction between the clothes on their feet and the wall surface. Lord Nyax moved to be beneath them. He ignited his blades, all of them. He knew they'd be here, knew it from the moment they stopped chasing him. He wished they'd go away instead of tiring him. The foremost of them, the male, slid down until he was not far above Lord Nyax's reach, then leaped free, somersaulting to land somewhere behind him. Lord Nyax reached out as the male came down. He slid a sharp-edged piece of stone toward the male's landing area, timing it so that the stone would shear through the male's legs.
but the male slowed his descent and rotation, landing atop the stone instead of in front of it, and bounded off toward Lord Nyax. Meanwhile, the women leaped clear of the stone, spinning down toward him, igniting their weapons as they came. Lord Nyax leaped free of the center of their formation, bounding up over the head of the red-haired female. He hit the stone wall feet first, shoved off, and rotated to a landing many steps away from the three pests. Then he made a thought and drove it into their heads. It hit Luke like a razor bug fired straight through his forehead. Luke staggered under the pain. His back hit the irregular floor. He waved his lightsaber up and in front of him, a defensive form, but there was no follow-up blow for him to counter. There was, however, a new priority. He was to switch off his lightsaber and then go attack the Yuuzhan Vong. He leaped to his feet and turned his weapon off. He could see Mara and Tahiri doing the same, but that would mean dying, and worse, failing. No, it's what he had to do. No, he couldn't do that. He stood frozen by the dilemma, straining against the thought that filled his mind, the thought that was slowly driving out every other consideration. So he did what he had to whenever he was confused. He reached out, touching Mara in the Force. He didn't have to open his mind to her. His mind was as open as it could be, held open by Lord Nyax's thought. He just had to reach for her, and she was there, locked in as much confusion and pain as he. She had no answer for him. He reached for Tahiri and found her to be identically immobile. He felt Lord Nyax grow impatient, then angry. And Lord Nyax expressed his anger through pain. Luke felt his fingers and toes, hands and feet, shins and forearms explode. He fell, writhing, then stared in amazement as he realized that his limbs were still attached. The pain was real, but no injury had caused it. He could feel Mara's pain, feel Tahiri's. There was something different about Tahiri's. He looked over to where she lay. She was rolling to her stomach, forcing her way to her feet. Off balance, weaving as she stood, she nevertheless managed to pick up her lightsaber and ignite it. She looked at Nyax, anger blazing in her eyes. "I know something about pain you don't," she said. "Pain drowns other people. I just swim in it." She took a step toward her tormentor. Luke could feel Nyax's anger, his moment of confusion. And though Luke couldn't move, he could act. He reached out through the Force and grabbed the stone that Nyax had tried to use against him moments earlier. He jerked it toward his enemy. And though he was weakened by pain, by distraction, it flew those few meters and slammed into Nyax's back, driving him forward, slamming him off his feet. Tahiri leaped forward, bringing her lightsaber down in an all-out attack. Nyax managed to get one of his arm blades up to intercept it, then kicked out, shoving off against a pile of rubble. He slid away from Tahiri, and the slide continued well past the point that it should, carrying him clear of her, but he left skin and blood behind on rubble he crossed. Luke felt Nyax's astonishment, his outrage at having been wounded, however trivially. Then Nyax drove another thought into Luke's brain, "Kill Tahiri." This time Luke was ready for it. He'd had a moment to center his thoughts and, most important, emotions. He was ready with his memories of Tahiri. All the time he'd been delighted as she'd made another gain in her study of the Force, all the hopes he'd had for her future and happiness, he could hold up like a shield his memory of her love for his nephew, Anakin Solo. All those memories blunted Nyax's attack, shattered its spear tip. Luke reached for Mara again, and found her similarly armored, but with logic, not emotion. Running through her mind was a cold calculation of allies and opponents, actions and consequences. Uppermost in it was a realization that Nyax could rule any individual, and out of individuals whole galaxies were made. But deep beneath the analysis was a stream of emotion, an awareness of their son Ben, of what he would be if Nyax could find him and shape him. Luke came up on shaky legs, felt Mara doing the same, and though Niax was not letting up on the pain energy, it affected Luke less now. He could feel Tahiri's part in that. The way she opened herself to the pain, was not daunted by it, was not shut down by it. They faced Niax as a single creature. The part of them that was Mara rejected the false truths Niax tried to impose upon them. The part of them that was Luke rejected the false hatreds, the lying enmities. The part that was Tahiri made the pain part of what they were, a fuel for their strength. Niax looked between them, and a flicker of distress, a childlike expression of fear, crossed his features. Then all four of them felt the wall break. Whatever was beyond it roared forth to sweep them away. Elsewhere. Above Borlios, on a routine surveillance sweep in her X-Wing, Jaina Solo was jolted out of her detachment by a surge in the Force. She could feel Luke and Mara in the surge. She knew they were in danger. And she could see Kip's X-Wing wobble as he, too, was hit by the sensation. Thousands of light-years away from Borlios, Ganner Rysod, Jedi Knight, kept a firm hand on the controls of his rickety transport as he closed the last few meters to dock with the space station ahead, but his arms spasmed as the Force seemed to howl at him. His transport jerked forward, hitting the docking bay at a greater velocity than he intended. As he shook his head to clear it, he heard the dockmaster over his comlink, "Idiot!" In an artificial environment dome, part of an ever-growing station hidden away in the maw, Valen Horn, Jedi apprentice, jerked awake so violently that he fell from his narrow couch. He sat up, trying to remember what nightmare had caused this reaction, but he couldn't. Then he heard the wailing of the infant Ben Skywalker from two compartments down, the voice of an adult trying to soothe him, the voices of other Jedi trainees as they compared details of what they just felt. Coruscant. Rushing up a flight of emergency stairs, Bindi ahead of her, Elisar behind, Danny stumbled as the sensation hit her. She crashed down atop the steps, bruising shin and ribs, and lay there gasping. Elisar knelt beside her. "Don't move. Let me look." "I'm not hurt." She ignored the Deveronian and heaved herself upright. She knew she had to look as rattled as she felt. Something happened. Something just got loose.